Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness, you are here. Good. Yay, I'm awake. I am so glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad that we're all above the ground and enjoying life, because life is a rich thing to enjoy. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. We move into this awareness, and because this is the truth, because life really just wants to show up as us, that really means a whole lot of stuff. Like, maybe there's nothing bad about me. Maybe I'm all good because I'm just life showing up. Maybe I have real freedom to choose what that life can be. Of course, I would take the maybe off the front of all of that and tell you that I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that's the truth. We are a center that honors every person for who you are. We don't discriminate on any level or area. We are fully celebrating. We don't just welcome or tolerate. We celebrate you, whatever ethnic group or sexual group or group, political group, wherever you happen to belong, we celebrate you for who you are. We don't stand on any of those kinds of lines, because they are lines that have to do with non-spiritual things, and they are not a part of who and what we're about. So I invite you to celebrate yourselves as well during this time that we're together. We have a wonderful time to plan this morning, so I'm not going to keep yapping at you. What I am going to ask you to do is to join me as we go further into what we believe. And what we believe is on the cards here. I ask you to look at this, to look at it from the standpoint not of a dogmatic thing that you can't read out loud if you don't believe it, but as a way to look at, what do I believe? What do you believe? And how it matches against this or with this or whatever. So please stand if you'd like to stand, and let's join together. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. The eternal loving kindness and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Thank you. Be seated. So this morning we're in for a real treat. Maya Fuller has been part of our practitioner core now for quite a while, and she has been doing wonderful treatment. She has been our missionary to Kuwait. She has also been doing that treatment work from Kuwait. She is now back in the U.S., and we are thrilled to have her here to bring us a bit of a lesson, and a good lesson, and a spiritual mind treatment. So without anything else, Maya. Welcome. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me and for welcoming me into the community. I know that I haven't met many of you, but I definitely look forward to getting to know you as I'm actively participating while I'm here in the country, and when I am away in Kuwait, continue to work behind the scenes. So, people, I guess by way of introducing myself to most of you, people usually ask me why I live in Kuwait. And I have a standard answer that I give, and the standard answer is that my husband, I married a man who works for the U.S. military, a contractor for the U.S. military, and he works in Kuwait. So that's why I live in Kuwait. That's what I tell people. But my real true answer, I'm going to share with you. And that has to do with, because it has to do, to me, it has to do with this teaching, this new thought, this science of mind teaching. And the real answer is that it's always been my dream to live in another country and to travel the world extensively. And the reason I attribute it to science of mind is because I was raised actually in New Thought in Miami. And science of mind teaches that if you have a dream, that it's put in you by God. It's a good thing. It's a God thing. And to hold on to it, have faith, believe in it, keep your eye on the prize, and one day it'll happen. The teaching, interestingly enough, the teaching says that it's our job to ask for the what it is we want, but it's not our job to to dictate the how, right, to the universe, right? So I didn't know how it was going to happen, but the real answer for me is that I knew that this was my dream. So I actually wrote this down, and I've moved into Kuwait in 2013, and so in 6 years, I've been to 25 cities and 15 countries on 4 different continents. So I'm definitely living that dream. Today, I'm going to be reading from, I'm going to do the treatment from directly from the Science of Mind textbook. And the reading is entitled, My Ideal Merges into the Real. My ideal merges into the real. And certainly I had, you know, wonderful ideals when it came to traveling and living in different countries. But reality, I mean, I'm not going to say reality, but living on the earth plane, I sometimes have had the experience or the feeling of having experiences of ups and downs, even in my travels. So, for example, I mean, I love different cultures, I love different foods, the beautiful architecture that I see, but sometimes there are things that I don't love about travel, such as having to pack all of my clothes in a carry-on bag or sleeping in strange different places. And sometimes I have encountered kind of unwelcoming cultures. So, for example, oh my goodness, these people in Georgia and Atlanta are so friendly compared to, okay, the stereotype is that compared to New York, right? The stereotype is that in New York, people are not going to be like smiling at you as much, or not going to be speaking to you, right? So there's that stereotype. But that stereotype is based on reality because different cultures kind of interact in different ways. So right before I came to Atlanta this time, I came back in July. I had gone to Eastern Europe. I was there for 13 days. I went to Serbia, Montenegro, and Albania. And I was actually traveling with a friend, an American friend, a girl from Texas, Texan girl. And she's a white woman from Texas. And so the two of us are traveling. And part of it, I was with her, and part of the time, I was by myself. And I experienced that the culture wasn't that welcoming to me. It was fine for my friend Jackie, but not so much to me. And I'm not one of those people who talk about, you know, differences that much. But this happens whenever we travel the world. If you go to China, people are going to look at you differently. Like they're not used to seeing you, and they'll want to touch you and look at your hair and take photos with you. This is the way it is, right? So sometimes you're going to experience things that you don't expect. And I didn't find the culture in Serbia to be very welcoming. I felt it hurt my feelings. 13 days of that kind of hurt my spirit. And it left me feeling down and reconsidering, like, why it is that I'm here traveling. So I was so happy to leave. When I left there, I have a layover in Paris. And this is what happened. I am in the airport in Paris. I will be traveling for about 12 hours, and I'm in this busy airport, finally with I just came from Eastern Europe, where all the people basically kind of like look the same, and they didn't look like me, and they weren't really talking to me much. So now I came to this place where I'm just like, I'm so happy to see people from all shapes and sizes and colors from all different places, but I'm still not talking to anyone. So I'm like, you know what? What if I go outside of my comfort zone and practice being outgoing and set a goal to talk to 3 people? I'm also giving myself a rule that I cannot talk to more than 1 black person. It's not gonna count. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I feel more comfortable talking to someone who looks like me, which is exactly the issue that I've been having. People not feeling that comfortable talking to me, I guess, because I don't look like them. So I don't want to perpetuate that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and limit it also, if possible, try and limit it to also 1 American. 1 man, and then other. How about that? We'll see. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I don't know how to do this, what to say, but we shall see. See anybody for me? You see anybody?
Let's do it. Okay, so I did it. I saw this lady who looked interesting. She had like a backpack in the front and she had these interesting tattoos. So I went, I like your tattoos. Yeah. And then she talked to me and told me about her tattoo. She was American, so. This is good. This is good. Let's see how this is gonna work. It's embarrassing. I'm shy, but it's good. Okay, so I did it. There's this lady back there, sitting there with those two people. And I asked her first, what language are you speaking? She said Italian. Parli italiano. And I said no. And then I was like, oh, I wanted to tell you, I was sitting behind you before. And she said, oh yeah, I'm sorry, because she put her hair all over my arm. And I was like, I told her that when I turned around, I noticed your hair is beautiful. I want to tell you, I have beautiful hair. She's like, oh, thank you. And I just smiled. These people I talked to like really short while, but they were outside of my comfort zone because I knew they were not American. I wasn't sure if they even spoke English. The guy was looking at me like this, like, what are you looking at? Why are you talking to us? At first, and then when I gave him a compliment, then they smiled. So, one more person, not American. Man. Oy, 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 oy. Next, I spoke to this Eastern European man in the red shirt. We spoke briefly about our flight, but I think I would have spoken to him anyway, so I decided not to count him. As Newton's law of motion suggests, once you get the ball rolling, it's on. I met a young missionary from Chicago named Janice, who's raising $30,000 to fund her missionary work in Germany. An Arab man returning home to Austin, Texas from Morocco after having just buried his mother. A single mom from Georgia who runs a nonprofit STEM program for girls. I spoke to Patricia again on the plane. She's headed home to Maryland after having vacationed in Italy and France. This lovely lady is a judge from Colorado. She and her husband, who is a Jamaican minister, are traveling home from Ghana after having been on a large group trip hosted by this professor and former university president. And yep, I chatted with Patricia and her husband one last time. Her husband's a university professor as well. She's a hairdresser. Hence the scissors tattoo that sparked off this entire day of conversation and camaraderie. At this point, I have met all the people on the plane. No, I've been talking for hours to people. Hours. I'm gonna stop talking now so my seatmate can go back to sleep. Yeah, so the meditation that I'm gonna read is that my ideal merges into the real. So that was my ideal. I think this teaching teaches us to take responsibility for, you know, making what it is that we want happen. I didn't expect that to happen, of course, but it's the intention, right? It's like I asked for the what, and the universe tells me the how. The universe gave me this idea to do this, and I had no idea that it was going to change my whole perspective. When my daughter was 8 years old, she made up this little tune, and it goes like this. When life gives you lemons, you like make lemonade. That's the way that it goes. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. That's the way that it goes. So I always remember that. She was 8 years old and she made up that song, and I would think about that. So I was like, okay, sometimes you just have to just make things happen for for yourself. It's gone. Okay. So I just want to just say, let's just do that. Let's have our ideal merge into the real, and let's move into treatment about that. So as we center ourselves, we turn to the power within and realize that it's our opportunity to let go. We let go of everything and enter into the contemplation of peace and good and truth and beauty. We are conscious that God is all there is. There is nothing else. We are certain that the spirit of reality is our spirit. It flows into our spirit and through our spirit, as us. We are conscious that love does guide and direct, lead, maintain, and sustain. We know that each one of us is a center of this divine light, this perfect peace, this complete happiness, this absolute wholeness. And we know that this perfection, which is the center of our very being, is projected into every atom of our being. We know that the law of this being is perfect, and there is no obstruction to its operation. We know that the principle within us guides us not only into the way of truth, but in the way of truth and the performance of that knowledge. Whatever is for our benefit is already provided. It is all one thing. It is all one presence operating through one fundamental law. Therefore, everything necessary to our well-being, whether we think of it as spiritual, mental, or physical, everything necessary to remove any belief in obstruction and the inflow and the outpush of that spirit is brought into our experience. All good, all substance, all supply, all activity, all opportunity for self-expression is ours now. And for that, we give thanks and we let it be. And so it is.
How about that, huh? Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes, double yes. More. Set the intention and watch it unfold. So I have to warn you, today's talk comes with a warning. There is a Baptist preacher alive and well in me from years ago that keeps trying to get out. So he might just do that today. And if he does, just bear with it and, you know, cover your ears if you need to or whatever. Because I feel very passionate and very strongly about today's topic, because I think the world needs it. I think the world needs what we have to offer in terms of this truth. It is part of one of the simple teachings of Ernest Holmes. And it is not just of Ernest Holmes. It goes way back. It's Jesus. It's Buddha. It's Martin Luther King. It's Gandhi. It's on and on and on and on. And it says, basically, stand for something and against nothing. And that's what I want to talk about today. When I was in college, back in the dark ages, in the 50s, actually, 60s, one of my professors had been teaching. He was 90 years old. He had been teaching for 60 years at the level of higher education. His pedagogy, his style, was that of someone from the early 1900s. So he had been teaching since about 1910, and he still used the same methodology, which was stand and deliver. We all had to sit in rows so that he could tell who was sitting where, and he'd know our names based on his seating chart. We were never to use anything but our last names, and he always called us Mr. Dean, Ms. Whomever, whatever, Ms. Smith, Ms. whatever. And you did not speak. There was no class discussion. But we had chapters to read in the only textbook he would allow and had been teaching for many years, which is Connotations of the English Language. So we would do, he would get to a question. Mr. Dean, what are the connotations of the word Renaissance? Stand and deliver. Talk about terrified. I was a freshman. I made the mistake of getting into advanced English. I still don't have advanced English. So you'd stand up and then you'd speak what the connotations were, why you were supporting those, what your supporting argument was, and then sit down while he ripped you apart. Unless it was really bad, and then you had to stand up while he ripped you apart. So stand and deliver. Stand for something was drilled into me and became really important, and know why you do. Not just that you stand for something, but that you know why you stand for something. There are many people who don't understand who we are and what we're about. There are people within our own movement who don't understand who we are and what we're about. Or they have a different understanding, I should say. They say we're passive, that we escape into our consciousness, into our heads. That rather than being an active, engaged people in our world, we are people who retreat into spiritual bypass, and we pray and we meditate rather than dealing with the issues in front of us. And I'm here to tell you that is just not true. We are people who are engaged in life. You just demonstrated that beautifully. We are people who know who we are and where we're going and what we want, and we take stands in that direction. In this organization, in this place alone, this community alone, we have active leaders who are actively involved in businesses, in entrepreneurials, who own businesses, who are actively involved in healing, whether it's doctors, nurses, chiropractors, hands-on healers, all kinds of healers who are here and engaged and involved in the world. Did you know we even have people in here from who contribute and are engaged in active ways in different political parties? That may come as a surprise to you. I feel like I'm talking about the elephant in the living room, and I am a little bit. We are not a disengaged, passive people. We are a people who take the truth as we know it and understand it and bring it into focus and play in whatever way we believe in our truth there is to do it. Do you know we even have a Science of Mind minister who is at the UN? She is running a program there in the basement, away from the cameras, and invites leaders from all over the world to come into a room to do meditation together, to do affirmative prayer together, and to have conversations about world peace. People who cannot do that in front of the camera, or they'll lose their jobs or their positions with their countries. People who have to be very careful about how they say, in fact, the room they meet in isn't even marked, so that nobody can figure out quite where they disappear to. And from the very, the secretary of the UN has been there many times. Others have been there many times. She is actively engaged without stepping outside of the deeper truth of this teaching. And that truth is that there's only one side to anything, and that's God's side. My side may not be God's side, because I may be confused. But whatever side of any issue we are on, it's important that we stand for it and against nothing else. The world needs that. We live in a world right now that is everybody figures out, you know, and it's a standard kind of communication. I make myself look better by pointing out how silly you are, right? We do that in debate, we do that in writings, we do that in prose, we do that on news media, we do that everywhere. I'm good because you're bad, and see how bad you are, that means my position is better. And we go back and forth, and it's gotten to the point now where it's not just that your position is not good, but you're not good because you have that position, whatever it is. We do that in our families. I have some relatives that I have a hard time sitting in the same room with because they want to convert me back to the religion I left. I got some other family members that I have trouble sitting in the room with because they won't be sure I'm smoking reefer and drinking right along with them. And if I'm not, they don't feel comfortable. They're amazing, loving people. People who raised me. And if I reduce them to caricatures of human being, or if I push them in a box so I don't have to deal with who they really are, their bigger selves, and only look at the box, or the label, or the caricature, then I'm doing what Ernest Holmes calls malpractice. Because I can't shove you into a box and make you smaller and make you less without making me smaller and making me less. Because ultimately, that's all we're dealing with anyway, is ourselves. All of our teaching in this teaching brings us back to ourselves. It does not take us to out there, it brings us back here. So when I speak of you, I'm speaking of me. If I put you in a small box and don't want to take away your freedom because it disagrees with mine, I am really taking away my own freedom and limiting my thought. See, this is kind of tricky. It's tricky to be for something and against nothing. Because there's so many fun things out there to be against, right? I'm not going to name any of them because my list is different from your list. Thank goodness. And if I get all caught up in that list of what I'm against, I have fallen absolutely into the belief that there are two powers in the world, at least, if not more. Right? I see some of y'all squirming out there. I'm squirming up here, don't worry. Because I want to be sure we say the truth about this. About this, it's really important. See, we have to rise above the idea that there's me and you, there's us and them, there's my side and your side, because truly, there's only one side. In this teaching, we know that we are all there is. There is no us and them. There's only us. So that them that you want to point to at times, and I'm sure nobody in this room doesn't except me, but that person you think of as them that's wrong and bad and should not be allowed to do what they're doing, whoever that is in your life, the truth is, that's your alter ego. That's the other part of you that you don't want to look at. I hate that part of this. I'd much rather make it about them than about the part of me I'm trying to shut down and not think about or be part of. I have a quote from James Baldwin, one of my favorite writers. "An old world is dying, and a new one, kicking in the belly of its mother, time, announces that it is ready to be born. The birth will not be easy. And many of us are doomed to discover that we are exceedingly clumsy midwives." And that's where compassion and forgiveness and working together comes in. We are exceedingly clumsy midwives. Well, I don't think the world is at a point now of being born, but I do think we're at a point of adolescence. I know a lot about adolescence. I work a lot with teens. You know, we're in that place where it becomes like impulsive. You see any impulsiveness out there in the world? The world itself, people, groups, and organizations and countries being impulsive? Teens are impulsive. They get an idea. One of my teens at camp a few years ago decided it was a great idea to go riding around late at night at camp in his car, which he wasn't supposed to be driving, in order for a girl that he wanted to help calm down to calm down. Well, do I need to say more? You know, what a good idea. Seeing the short-term moment as the only moment there is, as if what we do right now is the only thing we can think about and cannot see past it. Because oftentimes in adolescence, we don't have yet the ability to see the bigger picture because our energy and our hormones and our stuff has us centered right here. You remember those decisions you made in high school? Yeah. And that certainty that my idea is the only idea, and if you disagree with it, there is just something wrong with you. You're one of those pesky adults, or you're one of that other crowd and not part of my crowd, and on it can go. One of the beautiful things about working with teens in our organization and going to teen camp and being the oldest teen there is that that group decides when they get there to go for a higher idea, the idea of love. The idea that we are going to love and support each other and set aside all that other stuff as best we know how for this week. And consequently, in the talent show every year, some scared and brave young teenager gets up to sing and can't get on pitch, can't remember his words, or gets lost in the song and just starts to shimmer and shake. And 250 of his best friends rub their hands together and say, "We love you, we're proud of you, keep going." And when they're done, the whole room stands and bursts into applause and cheers and screams for the effort, however flawed it might be, to a professional's mind. And that's where our world is right now. We are in that adolescence of pulling apart when we can change all of it by getting that energy of adolescence, that energy of focus, shifted into a better idea, a higher idea. Better not in the sense of this idea is better than that idea, but better in the sense of a broader idea, moving to another level of consciousness, moving to love, moving to growth. And that happens largely as we who know this and understand it are willing to stand for something and it gets nothing. And willing to take whatever steps we have to do that. So that when you find yourself passionately standing for something and there's that part of you that's wanting to go against something else, you got to take a look at what is that part that wants to go against something else. It's usually, what am I afraid of? What has happened to me in the past that this seems to be so important to be against that thing? And have I forgotten there's only one power and I'm it? And I have it available to me to stand for and not against anything. Really, really important. Ernest Holmes says this in his final talk to the Sylmar retreat in California in 1959, he did this. Find me one person who is for something and against nothing, who is redeemed enough not to condemn others out of the burden of his soul. And I will find another Savior. See, we condemn out of the burden of our soul. I got hurt a lot as a kid. And one of my tormentors loved to run up behind me when I was quite small, grab me and hurt me. Throw me down on the ground, punch me, whatever. But he would always catch me first by surprise from behind. When I first started waking up in this stuff, and even before then, for a long time in my life, I would tell people, especially close to me, do not grab me from behind. Because I might deck you before I even know I've done it. That was coming out of the burden of my soul that had been so hit and banged on that I would react before I even thought about it. Now, this is an extreme example, perhaps, but I think it's what happens to us out in the world. We see a certain person, a certain group, a certain whatever that pushes an old button from either our history, our past, our present. Sometimes when I see people like me that remind me of myself, I typically get not too happy about it. Especially if they remind me of the parts of me I just assume not have. Like being slow. Not being fast of body or of foot. And I can get really irritated. Slow drivers sort of represent that. Because it's coming out of that woundedness within me that says, you got to make it better so I don't have to look at it. Where in this teaching, what we know is if I look at it and see how silly it all is, doesn't feel silly when I'm in it. But if I look at it from that perspective, or I look at it from the perspective that there is a better idea here. There is an unconditional love that I can reach for and experience and live in and know that lifts all of that away. And I can stand absolutely firm in knowing that I am for something. I am for love. I am for freedom and the absolute right of every human being to express themselves, whether I agree with them or not. I can stand for prosperity for every human being to the level to which they can receive it. I can stand for power and strength without having to stand against anything else. We need to get clear in our own minds what we stand for. And it might be something more specific than mine that I'm speaking to you about today. I have some people who are not happy with the choices that some of us in this teaching make by not joining the protests right now, or going on the Women's March, or participating in protesting against what is happening at the border. I stand for all children being protected, and I can do that without attacking anyone else. But they say that unless we are willing to move our feet by getting out there and doing it, by protesting, by putting up whatever, then we are failures. But I defy anyone to show me how their protest is stronger than my prayers. And that is true for every one of you. Your power of prayer, your power of spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer, knowing the truth and knowing that when you do that, you are in line with an infinite power that created the universe, continues to create the universe, that is cosmic in scope, and that is constantly creating and creating and creating. You can choose that. Now, if you want to go protest, go protest. If you feel so strongly that you should march for something, go march for something. I have nothing against any of that. For something, against nothing. But I'm not going to do the things that I don't feel are of the level of consciousness that is about oneness. Because the tricky part of protest, the tricky part of getting into something of that sort, is that it becomes dualistic. And as soon as you split into good and bad, right and wrong, you've lost your power. Because power comes from the one, not from the one over the other. Now, it may look like there's power in it, but there isn't. I'll march for peace, but I won't protest war. Because war isn't the opposite of peace. Peace is a cosmic, universal presence within each of us that can also spread to the entire world. I won't make any political party wrong, but I will vote for that which I think is in the highest and best for me, from my perspective, from my filters, from all that I know. And I encourage you to do the same. And we don't talk about what that is here because that's not our business. That's down at this level. We go to a higher level. And we honor people on both sides of the aisle on any of those issues. So, I told you the Baptist preacher was coming out. So that second part of that statement about the soul is so important. About getting clear and about releasing those injuries and pains that we have had. And that's what this teaching is much about. As we honor and recognize truth, it shines a light on all that other stuff in us, and then we get to release it and free it up. So you get to learn to speak your oneness from truth. Speak your truth from oneness. And many of you already do. My goodness, yes. You stand for what you stand for, and that's part of the beauty and power of this. You stand for each other. You stand for truth. You stand for others who agree with you or don't agree with you. But you stand for their right to disagree. You stand for people wherever they are and whoever they are. You stand for those higher ideals. And for those of us who are still struggling with how to get there, that's why we have classes. That's why we do what we do around here, so we can expose those parts of us that need to get back into the oneness, get back into the wholeness, so that we can stand in our truth and know what our truth is. Any teaching that doesn't take you back to yourself is not taking you to where you need to be. It is a split. It is a divide. You are an expression of the divine. Holmes said that one of the things, this is in the class coming up we're going to talk about, human beings are God's opportunity to be something unique and special in the physical world. That's what you are. That's what I am. That's what we all are. So go for it. Enjoy it. Stand in it. Dance in it. Shout in it. Enjoy the freedom that that brings you. And if nothing else, stand for something. Find one thing, at least, that you can stand for and be against nothing. And I know you can because you already do. Because you're really wonderful. So am I. So it is. Thank you. So right now, I invite you to join me, if you would like to, in meditation, as we recognize we are surrounded by, filled with, and in totally immersed in a divine presence that is as ordinary as our thought and awareness and feelings, and as profound as our inspiration and our sense of energy. And we take a moment to simply open to that awareness. My awareness is clear. That I am part of, an expression of, this infinite power that stretches far beyond anything I have yet imagined. And that power is mine to utilize as I stand for my truth, my values. And during this moment, I get very clear regarding what I do stand for. I hear the whispering of spirit within my own soul saying, this is what you stand for. This is why you're here. And I listen. And I stand for love. I stand for love because love is another name for God, is another name for spirit. It is the very presence of life in me, as me, through me. And I choose to love. This is my truth. This is my joy. I let it be so. And so it is. Thank you. Deep breath. Shake it off. Yeah. So right now I stand for prosperity and abundance. I know it is a great circulation. And part of that circulation is what circulates right here now. As we spend money and do things based on what we believe in and what we stand for, and we give accordingly and we receive accordingly, it creates that flow, and you know, it's a circulation. Currency is another word for the prosperity or for the money itself. It's a current flowing in that circulation. So I invite you, if you were to join us in participating in that circulation as we declare our prosperity, and as you participate with our center through your giving and your offerings, which you have done so generously and abundantly. So if you join me in reading our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Thank you. I know some of you are ready to move, and we got some coffee and other things waiting for you out front. Cookies, I believe. I want to thank you, Mike, for setting up all that for us today. Our usual cookie guru and coffee queen is a little under the weather. Karen had a hip replacement recently, and she thought she'd be back with us today, but she's not quite there. She's way ahead of the curve in terms of her healing, but she'll be back hopefully by next Sunday or as soon as possible. So just know that she's healing. She's doing beautifully well in her growth and in her coming forth. So I want to say that, so coffee and cookies, for those of you who are ready for a sugar fix, I am, and is next. Also, to let you know, this week we are beginning the class on Essential Ernest Holmes. Now, this sounds like a class about an old dead guy. It's not. It's a class about you, because it is really using Ernest Holmes' teaching to discover yourself more and more of who and what you're about. Ernest Holmes' teachings were simply his writing down of what he went through himself in figuring out who he is and what works for him in his life, and then shared it with other people, and people flocked to him by the hundreds and thousands now. So it's made an impact all across the world, but what he was really doing is saying, what do I need to do to live well? How do I live with this wonderful idea of power, this wonderful idea of love, this wonderful idea of creation and creativity? So if you want to begin to discover that for yourself, this is a good class for you. It starts Tuesday. There's a morning class in person at 10 o'clock. There's an evening class online at 7 o'clock. Now, here's the really important thing. Sign up. I can't send you the material for the evening if I don't have your email. There's a sign-up list out there. There's a registration and sign-up way to pay for the class online. You could do either one, and then I can send you the materials. Otherwise, you won't be able to even show up for the evening class, because unless I send you the link, you won't find us. So be sure to do that if you're interested in the class. And if you're not sure you want to take it, but you want to come try it out and see, please do that. Come on, join us. The cost of the class is $170 for the whole thing, if you pay it all at once. If you do it weekly, it's $20 per week that you may pay. If you do the math, you know 10 weeks comes out to $200. That's a little more, because having the money up front is helpful to us. So we're inviting you to do that. But this class will be really wonderful. I will tell you that online classes, for those who are a little skeptical, can be just as powerful and meaningful and connecting as sitting in the room with people. It takes a little while to bring that about, but it absolutely can happen. And I've been doing it for years, so I know a little bit about how to do that. Okay, so we already talked about coffee. If we don't know when your birthday is, make sure you put it on something out there, or give it to Mike, because I've started the process where I am sending you a birthday card, and I'm also treating for you the whole week of your birthday for your highest and greatest good. I can't do that either if I don't know when your birthday is. Plus, you'll get flowers at the beginning of next month, like the folks did last week. So, you know, get a flower, get a treatment, get connected, give him your birthday. The thank yous, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, where are you? Doug, for getting us started into the 21st century with this wonderful video and the wonderful presentation up front. Yes. So Doug has been the energy behind that, and Vance is making it happen along with him. And thank you, yes. So as we move towards October, we're just trying out parts of it. By then we will get it a lot more smooth and worked out, and you will have some visuals to go with the auditory part that you hear from me. And you have something else to look at, which will be much better for many of you. So, you know, let us know how you feel about it, what you think, but we're moving forward with it. We're going to incorporate more music into it. We're going to make it a little more 21st century. So invite your friends, tell them what's going on. I want to thank all of our volunteers, whether it's board members or practitioners or ushers. We have some amazing volunteers that meet with our children every week. That is such a rich program. Bring your kids, your grandkids. Any kids, except get permission, that you think could use this or benefit from hearing that they are God. I keep quoting him, but the little four-year-old back there says, I can't wait to get here and lay down on the blanket and breathe in God. Isn't that cool? What if you had known that? What if I had known that? It's pretty amazing. So I also want to thank our all of you who contribute to making this possible, who allow us to be here, to support our being here, to creating that. And I want to also thank our practitioners. I'd like for them to stand. These are the folks who can help you with that being for something and not and against nothing. Yes. Woo, look at this. And I will tell you, we spent a good bit of time yesterday in our practitioner meeting treating on your behalf for your greater good and particularly your prosperity and your abundance. So you'll hear a lot more about that in the next few weeks. Now, the last thing I would say is I want to speak to is our care ministry. We'll hear more about it at the end of the month. But Aloma, back here in the back, waving at us, is our leader of the care ministry. And if you have a need or you know of someone who does for a visit, for a contact, if you're not sure if it qualifies, talk to her. She'll let you know or whether it works or not. If you hear of something, suggest that people get with us because we're here to care and support and make the world a better place in the process. So thank you for that, Aloma. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So if you liked what you experienced today or you thought it was a cool thing or you're hoping it'll be better next week, invite a friend. Bring them back. Come on back and see. Because I think what you're going to discover, if you haven't already, most of you have, over time, this is a place that matters to your life, to my life, and to the world. So I invite you to join us and bring more folks. All right. Let's close with our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. And I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is.